Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses! And Moses said, Here am I. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and gracious and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of our fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I say? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Moses, on that mountain, knelt before God, took his shoes off, knelt before God. God called him out, and he surrendered that moment, and when he did, listen to me, it was done. It was completed. It did not have to even go any further than that, but God had completed it. He already had released the children of Israel. He already had planned for them to go through the desert. It was all set up. All Moses had to do was go. And Moses said, Do it through me. In 1940, Dr. J. Edwin Orr took a group of Wheaton College students to study in Europe. Now, many of you have heard of Dr. Orr. He's a famous preacher, revivalist, and I've heard read several of his books. But Dr. Orr took this group to Europe, and they went to look at sites where Christianity began. These were students that were thinking about going into the ministry. And so he wanted them to see the sites of the great leaders of faith. Everything from the Gutenberg Bible where the Moravians met, and where all of the people who came out of Europe came to America, and the different famous leaders. One they went to see was the leader John Wesley. Many of you know he was the leader of the Methodist movement. Charles Wesley, his brother, was in the ministry before John Wesley. And so he joined their methodical group, as they called it. And they began. He began to sense that he was being called to ministry. So they went to this Epworth Rectory in England, and this rectory, meaning pastorium, a place where the rector stayed. And so they went to the rectory, and they walked in the front door, and it was musty, it was old. And these students looked around, and then they all gravitated to the big library that was there. The dozens and dozens of books that were on the bookshelf, and they pulled them off and looked at them and thumbed through the old pages. For this were the books that John Wesley had read. And then they walked up the stairs up to the second floor, to the bedroom. And as they were standing there, they were wondering, what is the point in this? Until one young man said, "What is this in the floor, in the carpet?" And they were two worn places. And Dr. Orr told them, it's pretty much known that is where John Wesley knelt and prayed. He stayed on his knees so much that it wore patches in the carpet. I want to tell you a little bit about John Wesley because I think it fits into what I'm getting to. In the late 1735, a ship made its way to the New World from England. On board was this young minister. His name was John Wesley, who had been invited to serve as the pastor in the British colonies of Savannah, Georgia. When the weather went sour, the ship began to list, and there was a terrible storm. The waves were overwhelming the ship. Wesley, the chaplain of the vessel, feared and greatly cried unto God for help. But he noticed that there was a group of German Moravians who were on their way to preach to the American Indians. And they were not afraid, it appeared. In fact, while the ship was being battered and beaten, they sang songs of faith. When they finally went through the storm and they were coming into the harbor to let everyone out, and it was calm, John Wesley went to the Moravians and said, I don't understand this. Why were you so calm at the point of death? We could have sunk. And one of the men stepped forward and said, "Do you not have faith?" And John Wesley said, "Yes, I have faith." But his words were, "I feared that my words were vain words." In fact, Wesley was confused by the experience and so perplexed by it that he returned to England. And on May 24th, 1738, he had an experience that changed his life forever. He described the event in this way, and I'm just going to read you from his journal. "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading scripture from Luther's preface on the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt a strange warming in my heart. I felt that at that moment I did trust in Christ. Christ alone for salvation and for assurance, and was given such a feeling that my sins were all taken away, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." From then on, John Wesley was more on his knees than he was doing any other thing. He spent hours on his knees every day. And these patches at the Epworth Rectory were where he cried on his bed. And they said after he had died, they found stains in the mattress where he leaned over his bed and wept. You see, when John Wesley prayed, it was done. When John Wesley prayed, that's where the victory was done, met. As a matter of fact, an indication of his great ministry was that when he died, he had 294 preachers, 71,000 British members, and 19 missionaries in England. In America, where he had influence as well, there were 43,000 people that were saved, American members of his church, and 198 preachers. And today, as you know, Methodists are 30 million strong in the world. I want you to understand that this man had a tremendous, powerful effect, but it began on his knees. Dr. Orr told them about that while they were standing in that bedroom. They left and went down the steps and got in the bus. Dr. Orr told the driver to get ready to go, and he noticed there was one missing. He said, "Who's missing? Where is he?" He said, "He's still inside." So Dr. Orr walked back in to go find the young man. He went into the library. He was not there. And he peeked in the kitchen, make sure he wasn't getting something to eat. He wasn't in there, a drink. And then he went upstairs. He checked the restroom downstairs. Nobody there. He went upstairs to the bedroom, and he saw the top of the head of a young man on the opposite side of the bed, kneeling in those patches. And the young man said this, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let your miracles of mercy fall on me and do it again. Do it again through me, Lord. Do it again through me." Dr. Orr walked over, put his hands on the young man's shoulder, looked at him and said this, "It's time to go. We need to continue. We've got so much more to see." The young man stood up, and Billy Graham walked out of that room, and God did it again. I want you to know something, though. When it was won and when it was provided and when it was given was when Billy Graham got down on his knees next to that bed. That's when it was accomplished. I could go on and on about the different things that happen when we trust God on our knees. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 through 10. Jesus was walking through the countryside when he was met by a centurion, not one that you would think would be coming to by faith to Jesus. Rather, you would think that he was coming to tell Jesus to quiet himself. He was the police of the day. The centurion came up, and in verse Matthew 8:8, the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one to come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to the following, "Truly I say to you, I have not heard or found faith in anyone in Israel with this great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you have believed it would be." Did you hear that? I want everybody to get this. He said, "It is done." When? When he was pleading with Jesus. When are the things accomplished in God's kingdom. When we come before him on our knees, then it is accomplished. It is done. It is completed. That's why the Moravians on the ship could stand there and go, "Do you not have faith?" What they meant was they'd already turned it over to God. It's done. It's in God's hands. I've given it to God. I see Christians today who are worried. Why should we be worried? If we've turned it over to God, it's God's, and we are trusting him in it. First of all, I believe. Second of all, I walk in faith. Third, whatever the consequences, I am happy in it. As Paul says, when I get on my knees, it is finished and done. Abraham fell on his knees and pleaded with God for his future. And when he did, it was sealed. And God did it again through Abraham. When Jacob would not turn loose of the angel and cried, "Bless me, bless me. I will not turn you loose until you bless me." It was done. It was completed. And you know the history of Jacob. And then Joseph, who cried unto God in the bottom of a pit with no hope, going to be sold into slavery, no future. It's done, it's over with. But when he cried unto God, "Hear me," it was done. And God already had prepared the very prison that he would be in, the very people he would come in contact with, and already had his place in the leadership of Egypt already prepared. It was done, it was done, it was completed. He, in the pit, was on his knees. When David spoke to God from a cave, being chased by Saul in a dangerous moment, it was done, and he became king. It was completed when he was on his knees. When the disciples met together and prayed, "God, do it through us," they cried. "Oh God, what we saw in Jesus, do it through us. God, do it in me. God, do it in me again." It was finished. A few days later, the Holy Spirit fell and the church went out. But it was completed on their knees. Yesterday, tens of thousands of Christians on the Mall in Washington, D.C. did nothing but pray. And they walked from memorial to memorial and prayed over that memorial. And they walked to the building, the Congress, where Congress meets, and they prayed over that. They walked to the White House and prayed over the White House. They walked and asked God's prayers over it all. I want you to know, it's done. It's done. God's already won the victory. Would you like to get in on what God is doing? Would you like to say, "God, do it again through me"? Now, I want you to understand this one last thing that just touched me and moved my heart. My daughter, in the midst of her pain with her possible torn meniscus and possible surgery, in the midst of a move, in the midst of great trial, in the great pain of the moment, and really a lot going on, and I can't even imagine. She said, "When I don't spend enough time with God, then I have wasted my time." What? You don't have any time. But she said, "When I don't spend time with God, I have wasted my time." When she said that, I went, There are times when my children bypass me and their faith looks at my faith and says, "Dad, Do you not have faith? This morning, I want to call this church. I want to call you as individual Christians to a new moment in your life, to a moment where you trust Him on your knees. By the way, it's hard for me to kneel with my bad hip. But if you take a pillow and you put it on the floor and you put a mat under that and you aren't down there too long, I kneel and then sit and then kneel. You can make it work. But I want you to know there's something about kneeling before the living God that John Wesley is not the only one who understood the powerful meaning of it. It can transform your life. And by the way, it is done on your knees. Most of us Christians are about getting things done. Let's go get it done. I'm a person that just gets it done. Let's just go get it done. God is saying to us today, it's done on your knees. Church that prays together, God can use and transform a nation. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the saints that have gone before us, that have learned the hard lessons, and yet, Lord, it seems like we can't learn from them sometimes, but we come to learn this morning from your saints that we read in your word who trusted you and trusted you on their knees. Lord, teach us how to pray as your disciples ask. Lord, teach us how to pray. And then, Lord, let it be done through us. Do it again, Lord, here in this church, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to just point out that we have several ministries this week that we'll be